was pretty chilly this morning. I think I got in the car and it was like 14 degrees out. But still a beautiful day nonetheless. Is this guitar on? He needs a 9-volt battery. I was 3 minutes late, but considering leaving Yankton during rush hour and only having a half hour to get here, that's pretty good timing.
Amen.
Glorious Lord.
faithful and true to us all. Amen. Seeing our needs, meeting our needs, Father, we thank you. Let's give back to you with a cheerful heart, Father, and all for thy glory. Give me all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
265, if you have a hymnal with you.
Amen. everybody should have gotten three handouts tonight.
That's the rest of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of course, those aren't here. I will get a copy next time. Amen. I was in the studying this morning, not so much what we're on right now in Bible study, but I was just going over interpretation of the Torah. And man, I tell you what, obviously there's a lot of things that as far as having the mindset of a Jew, after reading several passages or chapters and talking about the technique of interpreting the Torah, and if I just want to make it understandable to us, of interpreting the law. And they say, the Jews say this is what they have in their system. And of course, everything lines up the way they say it. Everything lines up because the Lord is the one that basically, how would I say, just like every other language, he's the one that gave the Jews their language. But in that language alone, there's so many things about that language that it's... And I'm trying to find the right word to say it, but I just can't seem to pinpoint it right now in my mind. But just the way that when you approach the study of the Torah from the standpoint of a Jew and what they teach, and you, some of you probably already know this already. I'm probably the ignorant one. But they say there's 70 interpretations of the law.
Wow.
But here's the thing. They do not contradict. So in other words, you can go whatever direction you want to go, and every one of those 70 interpretations will bring you right back to the point, because they all have the same point, but it's the way it's presented. And I was reading that this morning, I just blew my mind. I was thinking, man. But you know, there's some beautiful things about it. I love it. I mean, and it takes a lot for this old brain to, you know, I wish it was as spongy as it was when I was younger. That old sponge kind of got a little brittle, so it's kind of hard for it to. So I have to go back over. But you know, I'm glad I go back over, because there's something I finally figured something out. I was thinking, how could I miss that? How could I? So it's good to go back over. But I tell you what, I'm amazed. I'm thinking, wow. I am amazed. But you know what? Here's the thing. We can talk about the way they interpret it. Here's the thing. And we've got one on them. And you know why we have one on them?
We have the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, and we know the one who wrote it. So it seems to, like, in a sense, our interpretation of it, we cannot always, and I've preached different a passage of Scripture. I've preached it different times over the years, because God has given me a different way to preach it, a way to present it. And you look at that, and sometimes you don't, you know, how is that possible? Well, it's God. But that's what they say about the law. There's 70 interpretations about the law, but they all, and it's contained, everything as far as the interpretation of it, the understanding of it, the moral lesson of it, it is always in agreement. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Amen.
So let me tell you something. And they all go back to Moses. Moshe. They call him Moshe. They all go back to Moshe. And they talk about what the Lord revealed to him up there when he was on Mount Sinai and the tables of stone. And You know, we kind of get a glimpse of it in the book of Exodus. We get a glimpse of that conflict. Actually, if we don't read close enough, if we don't really notice the things about, you know, the details about it, we miss a lot. And there's so much that we kind of just, I think just from skimming over, we miss a lot, but there's so much in it that, wow. It's almost like handling the hot potato. You catch that hot potato, you want to throw it off to somebody right away. Why? Because it's going to burn your hands. But you have to build up your nerves or whatever. You have to build up a resistance to hold on to that hot potato. And that's how this is. Every word of God, well, he says, the word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. So it's amazing. And I'm just kind of like, wow, amen, my brain is mush when I get done reading that stuff. I'm just like, it's just mush. It's just like, man. And here's the thing, and I know that. I'm like I told you, I'm not an expert. I'm not a know-it-all. I'll be first to tell you that. But to those of you that think the Word of God is boring, it's not. It's just that you don't open your heart when you read it. So it makes it dull. And there's so much in that book, it's just like, wow. Wow. So I'm amazed. But even talking about what we're talking about and what they believe as far as sacrifice and everything, and what we're talking about is, of course, we're studying the Old Testament Mosaic sacrificial system and getting ourselves familiar with it. I was watching this year's ceremony, and of course it already took place, it had a few days back, but the Feast of Tabernacles, they started out with the memorial, the trumpets, and then they had the Day of Atonement, which they really couldn't do much on that because they don't have the temple. They just went through their, you know, the rituals they have been practicing since they haven't had the temple, so they couldn't literally practice the Day of Atonement. They just went through their customs of, you know, their meals and all that kind of stuff. But they did have a ceremony where they went down to the Pool of Siloam and tried to reproduce that service from that point going all the way up to the temple. And I was watching that, and man, you seen them priests there dressed in their garments, their white linen garments, and you seen the high priest, whoever he was, and he stuck out pretty much. But just to be able to see them go through that ceremony of the water libation and drawing that picture. And of course, everybody knows when they did that, you know what Jesus cried out, and he said, if any man believe in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It was amazing to watch them just watching the high priest dip that picture in there, and it was just like they were all just in awe of it. And when he brought it back up, man, just the way they... And a lot of them emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're getting ready for something.
Amen.
They're getting ready. So and I was watching that. I was thinking, man, amazing. And here we are. We're not the Levitical priesthood. We're the royal priesthood. We're the royal priesthood.
Thank you, Lord.
Representing the tribe of Judah, the royal priesthood.
Wow.
And as the writer of Hebrews said, he called Jesus the apostle and high priest of our profession. So here we are. And the priest's lips shall keep knowledge. The priest's lips shall keep knowledge. That's you and I.
Yeah.
We shall keep knowledge.
Yeah.
And that's why it's really important for us to really learn, to study.
Yeah.
Not just to gain that intellectual understanding. That wasn't the purpose of it. The Jews failed because they never mixed faith in what God was trying to teach them,
yes.
And it didn't work because they didn't put their heart into it.
Right.
Their hearts were far from them. But he was obviously imparting to them, even back then in the Old Covenant, a principle. A principle. The principle of sacrifice. The principle of what it is to be able to live for God. And if you have your outlines here, go to the one that has on the top of it that says the use of the sacrificial system. The use of the sacrificial system. And here we read there, and I'll just read it. You could just follow along. As we have examined the use of the sacrificial system, we have established the purpose of which was to establish access and fellowship with God. So remember that. To establish fellowship, access and fellowship with God. Access. Fellowship. Access and fellowship. Once this was accomplished, the offerings and sacrifices were presented on a daily basis to maintain their relationship with the Lord. So those were employed. Can you imagine the line? And I just wonder how they put it all in order, because here... And only Jewish males were the only ones that can attend. They represented their families. So only Jewish males. Can you imagine if they started sacrificing in the morning and they went to the day? Can you imagine? Amen. I wonder what it looked like. I wonder what that line was like of all those Jewish men, those worshipers, bringing their sacrifice. Can you imagine what it was like? A busy place. A busy place. And you think about that. And we can, you know, if you put it in the mind, you could, you know, in your imagination, you can think about it. But it was something that they did. Okay. Once this. Okay. As a result of this, daily sacrifices were presented. And also at different times, like the beginning of the new moons and yearly feasts that were held by Israel. So you had your daily sacrifices, and then you had your sacrifices at the beginning of the new moons, the beginning of the month, and then the yearly feasts that were held by Israel. So every time in a new moon, there were certain sacrifices that were to be offered, and then the yearly feasts. Three times they presented themselves before the Lord at the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Three times in a year they offered the sacrifices. And so it kind of all, in a sense, it almost like overlapped. Okay? So if you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus 29, you'll see there, it says in Exodus 29:38, it says, as we see in this passage of Scripture, the daily offering was two lambs of the first year, and they had to be offered in the morning and then again at the evening. Specific instructions were given as to the preparation of each sacrifice, and this was performed on a daily basis. So you read there in verse number 38, now this is that which thou shalt offer unto upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And with the one lamb, a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of an hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. So you can see that twice a day at the door of a tabernacle. That's what I'm saying. Could you imagine how much movement there was around that, the camp? Because how many people did Moses bring out of Egypt? Now, if I remember right, I think it was like a 2-point-something million people came out of Egypt with Moses. So if you cut that in half, say, a man for, you know, a head of the house for those 2.1 million people, at least maybe a million or less males have to offer a sacrifice every day. Talk about a busy priest. So, you know, they obviously had some kind of system where they accommodated everybody.
Yeah, wow.
So here's the thing. I know everybody's mind's working right now.
Yeah.
How did they accomplish that? Remember, there's 12 tribes.
Right.
Yeah.
And each tribe has a head. That represented their tribe. Praise God. So that could have eliminated a lot of the time, because I don't think you could minister to if it was that amount. Now let's say it was less than that amount.
Right.
That's still a lot of people. If you cut it in half, 500,000. If you cut it in half, that's a lot of people.
Even if it was 5,000.
Yeah, even if it was 5,000. So obviously they did it in a way. So here's the thing. You when you read the sacrificial system, you're going to find out that there were heads that were responsible for their families and for their tribes. So obviously they must have somehow whittled it down to where all one representative for that tribe and for their families, because if you were from the tribe of Judah, your head or your chief represented the whole tribe and all the families in that tribe. Does that sound kind of like?
Yeah.
Sister Dean is searching. Look what he says. So in verse number 42, this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and be their God. So I want you to understand something here. In the Hebrew, there's a word, two words that describe everything that he's talking about right here. We hear it every now and then. You might have read it. But he's talking about a meeting place. A place where they come to meet God. To meet with God. And of course they had all the laws concerning when they come to access God's presence and have fellowship. Obviously, the sacrifices that made that possible. But here's the thing about it. This is what we would call an holy convocation. Because it's a holy gathering. And so the meaning holy convocation is expressed in those verses where he said, I will meet with the children of Israel. Amen. And the tabernacle shall be sanctified in by my glory. So in other words, that meeting place, when they came and they presented and they sacrificed, the Lord came to meet them. And the Lord sanctified them. He sanctified the tabernacle. He sanctified the priesthood. He sanctified the people of Israel, the congregation of Israel. Why? Because that's the true meaning of an holy convocation. So when we come, guess what? When we come into the presence of God, that's the whole objective. We don't just come here just to sit here.
Right.
That's right.
We come here to meet with God.
Yes.
We come here to access his presence. We come here to offer up our spiritual sacrifices.
Yes. Amen.
Present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we come for that purpose. But here's the thing. When we come, we need to understand something. This is a meeting place. We're going to have a holy convocation. God is going to come and he's going to sanctify us.
Amen.
That's why this place feels different.
Yes.
You can step in from the outside world. That's why this place feels different.
Yes.
Amen.
You can tell it's holy ground.
That's
yes.
right. Amen. Yes. Amen.
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 You ever wonder why it says this? Jesus said, sanctify them with thy truth.
Right.
Thy word is truth. So when we come into his presence, that's what's taking place. Whether you realize it or not.
Right. Amen. Amen. Wow.
And we all need sanctification.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And he says in verse number 45, I will dwell among the children of Israel and be their God. I will dwell among them. That's the whole thing about all this is the Lord, you know, we're talking about the old covenant, basically. But in the new covenant, guess what? He is dwelling with us. He's dwelling in us.
Yes. Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
That's the very thing. Amen. So the daily offerings are sacrifices. The Sabbath day offerings. You go over there to Numbers 28. And Numbers 28. And we see the instructions given for the Sabbath day offerings. Numbers 28, verses 9 and 10. And this is what it says. It says, and then on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot and 2/10 deals of fine flour for a meal offering mingled with oil and the drink offering thereof. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. So now you see the Sabbath offering. In a little while here, not tonight, but in a little while here, as we go along here, we're going to get into, and we read a little bit of it last week, concerning all the bread that was going to be made, the unleavened bread. And they were obviously prepared three different ways. You ask yourself the question, how come they weren't prepared one way? But they were prepared three different ways. There's a reason why they were prepared three different ways. We'll get into that. It's interesting. Okay? So I want you to think about that. But you can see, as far as every law and instruction could concerning the Sabbath offerings, of course, we look at as far as the offerings, the burnt offerings, but now we see the Sabbath day offerings. Okay? You go over into verse number 11, the offerings at the new moons in the same chapter, verse number 11, and you see there, it says, "And in the beginnings of your months ye shall offer a burnt offering unto the Lord, two young bullocks and one ram, seven lambs of the first year without spot, and three tenth deals of flour with a meat offering mingled with oil for one bullock, and two tenth deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil for one ram, and a several tenth deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering unto one lamb for a burnt offering of a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. And their drink offerings shall be half an hin of wine unto a bullock, and a third part of a hin unto a ram, and a fourth part of a hin unto a lamb. This is the burnt offering of every month throughout the months of the year, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering unto the Lord shall be offered beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering." Wow. Man. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amazing. So here we see the different instructions concerning, you know, the daily, and then the Sabbath, and now the new moons, the beginning of the new month, the new moon. So we see those sacrifices. And he mentions there, here's some interesting. I don't want to get off track, but I just want to throw this out there. This is, to me, this is interesting. You notice he mentions, of course, we studied that about the sin offering. And the offering that was to be offered up was a bullock. Here it's mentioned again, the bullock. A bullock is mentioned. You shall offer up two young bullocks. That's a pretty good size sacrifice. That's a big sacrifice.
Yeah.
Huh? And in that year, it's not full grown, but it's still a good size sacrifice. And you wonder why, you know, of course, we'll get into details, you know, specifics about each sacrifice. But when I was thinking about this, I thought about when he's talking about the bullock. And, of course, one Levite said this. He said that the bullock, of course, represented a number of things that pertain to human nature. But he said, but if you can really think about it, he said, one of the reasons why the bullock was such a significant offering that was sacrificed, it was a very expensive sacrifice. In other words, if you offered a bullock, you were basically, the worth of that bullock was pretty value, I mean, it was valued pretty high. So it was an expensive sacrifice. So in other words, you had to, if you did not own a herd, you had to buy it from somebody.
Right.
But still, to obtain and to offer that sacrifice was an expensive sacrifice. What does that tell you?
The high price of sin.
Yeah, the high price of sin. The high cost.
Right.
The high cost of it. And it even goes to us individually about how much are we willing to give?
Yeah.
How much do we value?
Yeah.
Not yourselves, your salvation.
Amen.
So don't you think that kind of falls right along with about giving God our best?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Not holding anything back?
Right.
Not giving him what's left over?
Right.
Yep. Amen.
Right.
Ooh.
Praise
God.
So there's a lot of things about this that when you think about it, Numbers 16, and we're talking about the offerings of the feast, and Numbers, in verse number 16, 28, 16, and then the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord, and then the 15th day of this month is the feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten, and the first day shall be in holy convocation. Ye shall do no manner of servile work therein, but ye shall offer a sacrifice made by fire for a burnt offering unto the Lord, 2 young bullocks and 1 ram, and 70 lambs of the first year, or 7 lambs of the first year, they shall be unto you without blemish. And their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil. 3 tenth deals shall ye offer for a bullock, and 2 tenth deals for a ram. And a several tenth deals shalt thou offer for every lamb throughout the 7 lambs. And 1 goat for a sin offering to make an atonement for you. Ye shall offer these beside the burnt offering in the morning, which is for a continual burnt offering. After this manner ye shall offer daily throughout the 7 days the meat of the sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. It shall be offered beside the continued burnt offering and his drink offering. And on the 7th day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work. Also in the day of the first fruits, when ye bring a new meat offering unto the Lord, after your weeks be out, ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work. But ye shall offer the burnt offering for a sweet savor unto the Lord, 2 young bullocks, 1 ram, 7 lambs of the first year, and their meat offering of the of flour mingled with oil, 3 tenth deals unto 1 bullock, 2 tenth deals unto 1 ram, and several tenth deal unto 1 lamb throughout the 7 lambs, and 1 kid of the goats to make an atonement for you. Ye shall offer them beside the continual burnt offering and his meat offering. They shall be unto you without blemish, and their drink offerings. Man. And then you read there, in the 7th month, on the 1st day of the month, ye shall have a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work. It is a day of blowing the trumpets unto you. So the day of blowing the trumpets. And ye shall offer a burnt offering for a sweet savor unto your Lord, 1 young bullock, 1 ram, and 7 lambs of the first year without blemish. And their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil, 3 tenth deals for a bullock, and 2 tenth deals for a ram, and 1 tenth deal for 1 lamb throughout the 7 lambs, and 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering to make an atonement for you, beside the burnt offering of the month and his meat offering, and the daily burnt offering and his meat offering, and their drink offerings according unto their manner for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall have on the 10th day of this 7th month an holy convocation, and ye shall afflict your souls. Ye shall not do any work therein, but ye shall offer a burnt offering unto the Lord for a sweet savor, 1 young bullock, 1 ram, 7 lambs of the first year. They shall be unto you without blemish. And their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil, 3 tenth deals to a bullock, and 2 tenth deals to 1 ram, and several tenth deals for 1 lamb throughout the 7 lambs. 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, beside the sin offering of atonement, and the continual burnt offering, and the meat offering of it, and their drink offerings. Woo! So beside all the other offerings, You had to offer these offerings. Man. We but you only have a couple chapters. Hold on. I'm doing the reading for you, so just follow along. 12. And on the 15th day of the seventh month, ye shall offer an holy convocation. Or you shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work, and ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. And ye shall offer a burnt offering, a sacrifice made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord, 13 young bullocks. Woo! Two rams, 14 lambs of the first year, they shall be without blemish, and their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil, 3 tenth deals unto every bullock of the 13 bullocks, 2 tenth deals to every ram of the 2 rams, and several tenth deal to every lamb of the 14 lambs, and 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, besides a continual burnt offering, his meat offering, and his drink offering. So here we see, amen. Here we.
I got a question. It always talks about the goat for a sin offering. Is that for the priest? That goat for him?
No, that goat's for the people.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Goat's for the people.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
When it talks about burnt offering, does that mean that they're going to burn the whole thing?
Everything on the altar is a burnt offering. A sin offering is a burnt offering. Everything is, there were offerings
there's
that,
nothing left of it on it.
Well, they offered on the fire, yeah, they offered on the altar, okay? And the non-burnt offerings were, does anybody know what the non-burnt offerings were?
They were like the bread.
The bread and the drink offering.
Right.
Okay? Remember what it says in Hebrews 9:22? Almost all things are by the law purged with blood.
Right.
Almost, he says, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. So in other words, he's not talking about the meal. The King James says meat. It should be meal. And if you look at that word, meat in the Hebrew, it means grain offering. So it's talking about the bread, grain offering, but they put meat. They translated it meat, but it's really meal or grain offering. So those two, and besides the drink offerings, the pouring out. Oh, man. Well, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But,
Pastor, so they didn't have to eat all that?
No.
Oh, okay.
They did. The only ones that.
Okay. So they did have to eat that?
No, they ate the sacrifice. They didn't drink the wine. They didn't drink the water.
Okay.
That was poured out.
Okay.
Okay. So here we see that. So the only ones that, because you're bringing up your sacrifice, you're offering it, and the priest ate it first. Okay, and then the Israelite ate his portion. There was a portion for the Israelite.
Okay,
so they made that connection. Now, you're asking why. We're going to study this in a little while here. But the reason why this had to take place was this. To partake of the sacrifice. What did Paul say? We have an altar that nobody else can go to.
Right.
Why does he talk about that altar in that sense? We have an altar that nobody else can partake of. What's he talking about? He's not just talking about the priesthood. He's talking about the people of God.
Right.
We have an altar that nobody else can partake of. What's he talking about? He's talking about the literal ingestion of the sacrifice. So what does that mean? Every time we come in the house of God, we hear the word of God, we present our bodies a living sacrifice, God feeds us his word. You know what we need to do? We need to ingest the word. Okay? But here's the thing. No one, even though, for example, if an Israelite went in there and he went through the whole motions and he did not partake of his sacrifice, guess what? The only thing that made them holy is if they ingested it.
Right.
So in other words, you can come in here and you can listen all you want to the word of God. That's not going to make you holy.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
what's going to make you holy is when you ingest it. That's why he says, don't be hearers of the word only, but doers.
Yes. Right.
Amen. A lot of beautiful things about this, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so here, let's go on. Now, where was I interrupted at?
Sorry.
Verse number 15, wasn't it?
17.
Oh, 17. And on the second day, ye shall offer 12 young bullocks. Now, you see how everything is going down. Two rams, 14 lambs of the first year without spot, and their meat offering and their drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, and for the lambs shall be according to their number after the manner. One kid of the goats for a sin offering besides the continual burnt offering, and the meat offering thereof and their drink offerings. And on the third day, 11 bullocks, two rams, 14 lambs of the first year. Now, does anybody notice anything? What do you notice?
The lambs stay the same.
Everything
stays the same except for the bullocks.
Except for the bullocks.
Right.
Everything goes down in number.
Yeah.
Okay? So you see that?
Yeah.
And one kid of the goats for a sin offering, besides the continual burnt offering, and the meat offering thereof, and their drink offering. Okay? And then on the 14th day, 10 bullocks, two rams, and four lambs for the first year without blemish. Their meat offering, their drink offerings for the bullock, for the rams, and for the lamb shall be according to their manner, after the manner, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering, besides the continual burnt offering, and his meat offering, and his drink offering. And on the fifth day, 9 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without spot, and their meat offerings, and their drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, and for the lamb shall be according to their number, after the manner, and one goat for a sin offering, besides the continual burnt offering and his meat offering and his drink offering. And on the sixth day, 8 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without blemish, and their meat offering and their drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, for the lambs shall be according to their number after the manner. And one goat for a sin offering besides the continual burnt offering, his meat offering and his drink offering. And on the seventh day, 7 bullocks, 2 rams, and 14 lambs of the first year without blemish, and their meat offering and their drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, and for the lambs shall be according to their number after the manner, and one goat for a sin offering, besides the continual burnt offering, his meat offerings and his drink offerings. On the eighth day ye shall have a solemn assembly. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer for a burnt offering a sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord, 1 bullock, 1 ram, 7 lambs of the first year without blemish, their meat offerings, their drink offerings for the bullock, for the ram, and for the lamb shall be according to their number after the manner, 1 goat for a sin offering besides the continual burnt offering and his meat offering and his drink offering. These things ye shall do unto the Lord in your set feast besides your vows and your freewill offerings for your burnt offerings and for your meat offerings and for your drink offerings, and for your peace offerings. And Moses told the children of Israel according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. Wow.
Yeah.
Now that's something, you know, you say, because if you look now, of all the sacrifices, and we read this, the offerings of at the feast, and you see how each feast was different. Each feast was different. It would really do you well to study every feast and all the offerings, because they're all slightly different in a way that the commandment concerning what had to be sacrificed. And of course, you notice something in the Feast of Pentecost, when they offered up their daily sacrifices, then their sacrifices according to the Feast of Pentecost, they did something that they didn't do in any other feast. And the priest, at that time, offered up 2 loaves. And here's the thing. Those 2 loaves weren't unleavened bread. They were leavened bread. So what does that mean? Well, no. It's actually the offering, the fruit of what came after the first fruits. So in other words, if you want to be technical about it, it was a first fruits offering that they offered up on the day of Pentecost. Because what happened? They were planted in the spring. And so they were offering up as an offering. So why was that? Why was that? Two leavened loaves of wheat and barley. I can see everybody's minds going right now.
Does it represent the infilling of the Holy Ghost?
Ooh. Jews, Gentiles.
Wow.
Two loaves of bread. Jews, Gentiles. Leavened bread. You know what that means? You know what? Obviously, it wasn't unleavened bread. There's only one person that was unleavened bread. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was without sin. And so they offered him up as a wave offering for the Lord. Okay? And then you come to the Feast of Tabernacles, then you read all that. Then you get to the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Day of Tabernacles. That's when they started starting out with 13 bullocks. And as the number just kind of minus every time it got to that last day. Now here's a question. Why that many sacrifices, and how it just every time you offered it, each day was minus a sacrifice? And why the Feast of Tabernacles?
Is it prophetic?
It's a type. Yes, it's prophetic. But we think we can just ride out being in church until the Lord comes. We're going to have to be involved. We're going to have to be engaged.
Sacrifice.
Because it's put upon us. Guess what? To sacrifice.
Right.
It's really getting intense, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the day we're living in. It's getting intense.
It's crazy.
I ran into a person that was seeking a position on the school board, and I ran into him several months back during the primary, and he said he was talking about the need to get more conservatives on the school board. So I'm running. So I said, "Oh, I've seen your advertisement." And he said, "Yeah." So he said, "Okay, I appreciate your voice." I said, "Sure." But he was talking about, you know, what was going on in the school. He said, "It's not good." I said, "I know it's not good." And anyway, we started talking about all these things that are happening here, and he said, "Man, it's really getting." He said, "It's pretty intense. It's getting out of hand. It's getting worse," he said. And I said, "Yes, it is." I said, "But you know, that just tells you about the day we're living." Things are obviously intensifying. Anymore, it just seems like you just can't say who you are without people somehow coming back at you.
Yeah.
And you know, saying something to you about, hey, you're a Christian or you're a conservative. And there's some people that don't like that. But that's just the day we're living in. So you think about that. Think about everything that's happening right now as we're in this world and everything that is going on right now, the intensity of it. The Bible says that because of the love of many shall wax cold, what did it say? Sin will abound. Because we're seeing that intensify.
Right.
So why is it during the Feast of Tabernacles that all of a sudden, why is it the need to be able to present more sacrifices?
Right.
than any other feast.
Is this the end? The last?
Yes, it's the last. Preparation. The Feast of Tabernacles is beautiful because it's a memorial. If you study the whole nature of the Feast of Tabernacles, it's a memorial of the Jews wandering in the wilderness. That's why they built those little huts. That was to commemorate their years of wandering. To remember where they came from. I'm not saying go back to what you used to do. No. Remember where you came from.
Right.
Remember what God delivered you from.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Because you're in the promised land right now.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
But what's going to get us out of here? What's going to get us out of here?
Obedience and sacrifice.
Obedience. Presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. Having that concept in us. Jesus said, amen, that, you know, the only way we're going to make it is, he said, deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow after me.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
That's a concept, a principle of crucifying yourself, your flesh, your lust, your desires, the sin that is in your body.
Right.
Because guess what? You're still flesh. So the motion of sins try to move in your body. So the only way to stop that is what? Present your body a living sacrifice.
Yes.
So in other words, you hear that term, double down?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time that we need to double down.
Yes.
If people can double down on immorality, we can double down on righteousness.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, who had it?
Whenever they say to deny.
What's that?
Whenever they say to deny, that means to deny what you have done before.
To deny yourself. In human nature is this. Human nature wants to just disobey God. The carnal man doesn't want to subject itself to the word of God. So when it says deny yourself, it's telling you to deny that part of you that wants to do that, that wants to walk away from God. So we deny that. We deny ourselves. It's just like all of us in here have a choice. We can do whatever we feel like we want to do.
That's right.
And what we feel sometimes, it's not good.
Yeah.
So how do we take care of that? If we deny ourselves, hey, I choose not to go back to drugging, drinking,
right.
Cussing,
right.
All that stuff.
Right.
I choose not to. I deny that.
Yes. Cut it off.
So basically, that's what it means. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. In other words, this sinful nature in this, we have to learn to crucify our flesh. In other words, put it to death.
Right.
Put those actions of sin to death.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So that's kind of what we're doing here. So where was I at now?
End of 29.
So anyway, talking about the sacrifice. Oh yeah, now I know I was going to go to. So the last feast is the Feast of Tabernacles, where they built those little booths, and that was to commemorate their wanderings. In other words, to remember, you know, and if I want to say it this way, where they came from. God brought them through that journey. He brought them to the promised land. And let me tell you something, folks. The promised land is a lot better than where we came from.
Yes.
Amen.
By far.
That is true.
By far.
It is.
Amen.
So here's the thing.
In
relationship, Brother Dan asked if it was prophetic. It is very prophetic. In relationship to what's going to happen in the 70th week of Daniel, when the Antichrist is going to make himself known and he sits in the temple and he proclaims himself as God. Of course, when he does it, he's going to defile the temple. So as a result, you read in Daniel that 75-day extension, going past the 70th week, you get that 75-day extension. Why was that? That's a type and shadow of what happened to the Jews in around 165, 168 B.C. when Antiochus Epiphanes went and slew, offered a swine in the temple, on the temple altar. So when that happened, of course, there was a big revolt and an uprising, and the Jews overcame, amen, his armies. And so what did they do? The Jews had 30 days of mourning, and after the 30 days of mourning, 45 days of cleansing, which is what? 75. So when the Antichrist does this, what's going to happen? There's going to be 75 extended days on the end of Daniel's 70th week. You read that in Daniel chapter 12. You read that. Why is that? Because when that happens, when the Antichrist does that, there's going to be 30 days of mourning and then 75 days of cleansing. Now, because this all takes place during that last portion of the 70th week. Guess what? So when the millennial reign is ushered in and we come into the millennial reign, remember the last feast that is going to take place is the Feast of Tabernacles. So because of what happens with the Antichrist, that feast will not be kept during the sixth dispensation. So here comes the millennial reign, the seventh dispensation. So what's one of the first things that takes place in the millennial reign? When we usher in the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ, guess what's going to happen? You're going to read it in the book of Zechariah. You know what they're going to do? They're going to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles.
Wow. Amen.
That's what it'll be.
Wow. And that's when it's going to be.
Wow.
That is so awesome.
Yes.
And then we're going to look back and say, yep, I'm glad I'm this side.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what that symbolized.
Right.
We're going to be done with our earthly journey.
Yes.
Right.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Wow.
So that's the reason why. Well, there's actually, we're just touching the tip of the iceberg, but we're just, you know. So you read this, and you see there the last part of it, the New Testament commandment. The New Testament commandment. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you see that. And then Philippians 4, 18. And it says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Hebrews 13:6, when we're talking about the concept, the principle of sacrifice, Hebrews 13:16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. To do good and to communicate, forget not. Remember the Lord spoke to them, and we read that Deuteronomy 16, that they were supposed to gather three times a year for the feast. Remember that was his commandment, his instructions to them in Deuteronomy 16, I think it's 16, to gather and three times a year. Then he says, not to come empty-handed.
Uh-huh.
You notice something? Anybody notice any difference in service tonight?
Yep.
What did you guys notice?
We
had offering.
Yeah.
I think we need to bring an offering.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
All the time.
All the time, yeah.
All the time.
Amen.
Don't come empty-handed.
even if you have a nickel.
Yeah.
Right.
Even if you have a dime, even if it's a quarter, a half dollar, a silver dollar, $5, $1. Because if you give to the Lord, we look at it and we say, why do we have to give?
Right.
Well, you know what? God is, obviously, the Bible says the whole world is His.
Right.
But why is it? Why do the lesser have to give to the greater? Good question. Why is it? Somebody else, you know, people get turned off. Oh, why do I have to give an offering? Go to church.
To receive a blessing that you can't even comprehend.
To receive a blessing. God doesn't need it.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
He doesn't need it.
Uh-uh.
But if you want to be blessed financially, materially, spiritually,
Amen.
Learn how to give to God. God's going to turn that around. He's going to bless you.
Yes.
That's the promise of His word.
Right.
So that's why you read this now. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. Now, somebody tell me what that word communicate means.
Is it to teach truth?
To do good and to communicate.
Sure.
Be the example.
Sure.
Share.
Yeah.
You're all pretty close. Okay. The King James Version says communicate, but if you look it up, I challenge you, you got a concordance, go back and look it up. You know what that means? That word communicate means this. You know how you're going to communicate with God?
Pray.
Well, yeah, you communicate with God, you pray. What does it mean when you communicate?
You talk.
You reach out.
Yeah.
We heard it, share. All that kind of stuff. You know, can't be just a one way.
Reciprocal.
Yeah, it's got to be reciprocal. But to communicate, it means this. You know what it means? Go look it up. I challenge you to look it up. It means to support the work of God with your financial and material blessing.
Acceptable offerings.
You know what? When we first started taking, I'm not trying to get off of Bible study, but when we start taking offerings, and everybody has a budget. I know you have a budget, and I hope you budget in your offerings. Because there's some things we don't even budget in and we spend our money on.
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
It's above.
Yeah.
So,
if you just include it to where. And here's the thing. Here's the hard part for all of us. Here's the hard part for people. He says, your first fruits, the first of thine increase.
Right.
Yeah.
In other words, before you pay your bills, anything.
Yes.
Give to God His portion.
Yes.
Before you pay your bills, anything.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
You give to God.
Yes. Amen.
Yep. That's what He said.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's kind of hard for us to go, oh, man.
Yeah.
But you know what? I made a covenant with God when we started all this. Because my budget, and I try to go above my budget, but I would put a certain amount in the offering. Every time the offering plate was passed around, I would put a certain amount in there. And I said, I'm going to keep on giving this amount. I'm not going to go back on it. This is what I'm going to get. So I set aside what I'm going to put in the offering. And then I do that. Guess what? The Lord just kept on blessing me. And kept on blessing me. So I thought to myself, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go up a little bit. I'm going to put more in the offering. So I put more in the offering. Guess what? The Lord, here He comes again.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's right.
So if you don't think it works.
It works.
It works.
Amen.
It works. But the thing about it is you put Him first.
Yes.
You put it first. So, you know, I take it aside. Because I want to, every time I come in here, I want to give something to them.
Right.
Right.
I want to put it in there. Boom. Well, I know that wasn't in the Bible. Well, okay, I guess a little bit of it was in the Bible study. So that was all right.
Amen.
Okay, you should have a, we'll just go a little bit longer here. You should have a second page that says acceptable and unacceptable. And scriptures are in Leviticus chapter 1. Brother Smith and them, their building burnt down Friday. Burned to the ground. Now they're having a discrepancy with the insurance. And the insurance company is saying that, you know, their insurance only covered the things that were on the inside and not the building. But I guess from what Brother Smith was saying, that no, that's not what we paid our insurance. So they're going through that. They're investigating. They're going through the insurance policy. But that building that Brother Smith and them were in, that building was built in 1860-some.
Wow.
Miller's Chapel. That was the name of it way back when, Miller's Chapel. And it was built by a family, and it was been there for a long time. Somehow they got that property, so that's why they kept the family. Said, if you could just keep that Miller's Chapel. So they made it, you know, they added their little, I can't remember what it was, but they added their name on there, so it was Miller's Chapel something. But that building was there since the 1860s, if I remember right. That was an old building.
Yeah.
And so, Saturday evening, Brother Wesley told us this. Saturday evening, they took him an offering, and they had to move services to Brother Golden's church, about 40 miles away from them. They took up an offering for the building to help them to get a building, and for as many people as was in that service that night. I guess it wasn't really a whole lot of people. But the offering they took up that evening was $10,000.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
And so now, and we heard, I think it was yesterday, Brother Smith found out there's a building they can get into. They're going to get into it by next week, I think they said.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
That's
so God
Lord.
Wow. Made a way for them.
Yes.
God will always make a way.
That's my
Amen.
Jesus.
So you think about that.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right, Jesus.
You think about that. How much do we really want church, and how much do we really want
right.
to invest in
yeah.
all that?
Yeah. Amen.
Best investment you'll ever make.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Guaranteed. Better than the stock market.
Yeah. Yeah. So Leviticus chapter 1, verses 4, and it says, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And here we see the sacrificial system of the old covenant was a means of establishing access and fellowship with God. In the order of worship, we understand that there was a pattern to follow with each offering and sacrifice. As long as the priest and individual worshiper followed the due order of worship, the sacrifice was accepted. You see that?
Yes.
As long as they followed the due order of worship, the sacrifice was accepted. The Hebrew word used for this is ratzah, which means to delight in, to be pleased with, or to be satisfied in. In the scripture, the phrase that appears numerous times in relationship to the sacrifices was a sweet savor unto the Lord, or a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord, denoting his pleasure in the sacrifice that pleased him. So there, we need to understand, as far as sacrificing, whatever manner we sacrifice unto the Lord has to be acceptable. What was the criteria used to determine that the sacrifice was going to be accepted? Every sacrifice had to be offered in such a way that God would put his approval upon it in order to be accepted. The sacrifice had to be offered according to the law of each sacrifice. And we read that, didn't we?
Yes.
All the different sacrifices. The sin offerings and the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. There's the wave offering, the heave offering, the drink offering. So all these sacrifices have to be offered in such a way. The sacrifice had to be offered according to the law of each sacrifice. The sacrifice had to be without blemish. Couldn't be any defects.
Right.
Each sacrifice had to be offered according to the prescribed feast or season. So if you go back in and you read that, what sacrifices apply to whatever feast or whatever season, the sacrifice had to be the best of the flock, herd, or harvest. The best. The individual worshiper presented it with integrity of heart, soul, and mind. Okay, we read those other passages of scriptures. Go to Isaiah 56, 7. Isaiah 56, 7. It says, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, for their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be acceptable upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Okay. You know what's really amazing? And I'm not trying to get off track or anything, but we'll leave here. Well, let's go to this last, the unacceptable offerings. And you read there, it says Leviticus 7:18, the unacceptable offerings. And this is what it says. It says, and if any of the flesh of the sacrifices of the peace offering be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it, shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. In other words, he's talking about, you know, they didn't consume the sacrifice. They let it sit. And they didn't eat it, really, when they should have eaten it. So there was a law pertaining to this, and if you didn't consume your sacrifice within a number of days, after it went past that limit, it was an unacceptable sacrifice. Now, what does that mean? Why am I saying this? Because a lot of times, here's the thing. Guess what? Our services were really rich, weren't they?
Yes. Yes.
The Lord spoke to us.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Man, talk about.
Yes.
Ooh. Right.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Over the top.
Jesus.
And how many of you have ingested it?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes.
Yes.
And you're still, you know, have you ingested it?
Yes.
Or is it still sitting there?
Ooh. Right. Right.
That's a good one.
Wow.
Because that will be an unacceptable.
Right.
That's why when the word is ministered to us and we hear it, guess what? That doesn't mean, well, I think about it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That
That's hardening your heart, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. And you don't ingest your sacrifice.
Uh-huh.
How many of you get offended when somebody doesn't want to eat with you? Let's for example, you set a nice table, you invite somebody over for dinner, you set a nice table, you go through the whole, and this is going to be an appointed, you know, thing of an appointed dinner.
Yep.
We sit down and you know, we go through the whole work of, you know, nice dish and everything.
Yep.
And
yep.
Table set and all of this. Someone says, no, I don't want to eat it.
You get mad.
What else?
Not unless you're on a diet or you're on keto or something.
Especially when you cooked all that.
But you should still eat it.
If you didn't want to eat, you shouldn't have came to the
group. Right. Exactly. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
But what is he saying? Ingestion. He's talking about ingestion.
Yeah.
That's an unacceptable sacrifice. When we sit and we let that sacrifice, and I think it was 3 days, you couldn't eat it after the third day. Well, you had to eat it before the third day. If it came to the third day, it was an abomination. And here God speaks to us and tells us wonderful things, and we're thinking about it.
Yeah.
We haven't ingested the word.
Right.
And we say we're not sinful.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's the truth. All right, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. So, as he says, the worshiper that came before the Lord to offer the sacrifice had to follow the commandments given to him. Otherwise, if he failed to pay attention to those commandments, the offering was not accepted. The Hebrew word pigol, which means something detestable or an aroma that was stink, is used to describe an unacceptable offering of sacrifice. When a sacrifice was not offering according to the law of the sacrifice, and if the sacrifice was blemished or injured, not according to the prescribed feast or season, if it was not the best of the flock, herd, or harvest, the worshiper did not approach with integrity of heart, soul, and mind. So you can see all these. This is what causes. Amen. This is what an unacceptable sacrifice is. Amen. We'll stop there for tonight.
I wonder if that's where piggy came from. No, seriously, you call a swine a piggy.
Mm-hmm. Could be, yeah. Yeah, because it's unacceptable.
Yeah, I wonder if that's where it came from. Yeah.
Tomorrow night, remember, rehearsal starts at 6:30.
6:30?
Yeah, we're moving it up. God bless. Thank you all for coming. We're having a breakfast burrito sale on Monday. Friday morning. So anybody wants to? I don't know. Do you have all the stuff for the?
They're accounted for, but not everything has been turned in yet.
Okay. Accounted for, but not all the ingredients are there. So turn your donation in.
So there's still some butternut squash, some acorn squash, and some pumpkin out on the back. Please take as much as you want. The garden is going to be filled this weekend. There's Brussels sprouts. If you want Brussels sprouts, go get some Brussels sprouts. I'm going to leave that up. There's also 3 giant kohlrabi. So if you want kohlrabi, take that. We're gonna get that garden completed this weekend.
Okay. Everybody hear that?